B61. Number 1B.
All right. Now, I think we have made this point very clear, and we should make it very clear once and for all, that metaphysics per se is not Christian Science metaphysics. That the metaphysics of Christian Science is something very different. Whereas ordinary metaphysics really reasons from matter to thought or idea, the metaphysics of Christian Science, which is divine metaphysics, only reasons purely from mind, capital M, from divine mind, which has naturally a terrific effect on the way of treating disease, of giving a treatment, of practicing Christian Science. Whereas ordinary metaphysics, and that which ordinary Christian Scientists practice, is that they take a problem and try to see the right idea behind the problem, either through reversal or by hinting at it. Now, this is not Christian Science. This is just old-time 19th century metaphysics. Christian Science says reasoning from cause to effect, from cause to effect, we start with mind, which must be understood through its ideas. Meaning that in a Christian Science metaphysical practice, we never reason from a problem and look at the problem and try to draw conclusions from the problem as to the idea which is behind it. But in metaphysical practice of Christian Science, we put the problem behind us. We don't ask what it is, we don't ask what the claim is, we put it right behind us and turn around, 180 degree around, and look into the divine mind and ask the divine mind, through divine mind reading, what the idea is that needs to be demonstrated. Is that clear? If it is not clear, I'm going to make it clear during that week. But here is a fundamental point, which I see again and again, that has not been understood by the students of Christian Science, nor by most students of Dorley's writings, has not been understood, that they still go out from matter, from the problem, and reason first from the problem to idea. We'll come back to that when we go through the practice of metaphysics and the practice of divine metaphysics. Okay. I take it very slowly, because I feel this subject must be understood once and for all. What are therefore the fundamental points that we have seen up to now? The fundamental points we have seen would be that metaphysics really is concerned with the mental realm, and therefore also with the relationship between the mental realm and the physical realm. It's mind, small m, over body. Showing what? Showing that every mental condition affects the body. That's Mrs. Eddy's terminology. That a mental condition affects the body. It affects the body positively or negatively. Both. So that we have to be careful that we don't say, well, by their fruits ye shall know them. We can only verify this statement if we really can see what are right fruits and what are wrong fruits, And Mrs. Eddy will explain and say, you can only know what are right fruits and the wrong fruits by going back to the cause of those fruits. If the cause of those fruits is the divine mind, then they are good fruits. If the cause of it is the human mind, willpower, positive thinking, and all that, then there are metaphysical fruits, and we have to be very careful not to think that they are demonstration of God. They have nothing to do with God. They have nothing to do with reality. So we could see that ordinary metaphysics also shows that really the mental attitude, like fear, can kill a body, can kill a man. That mortal mind, Mrs. Eddy says, says how well or sick we are. See, both. Mortal mind can tell us both how well we are and how sick we are. When mortal mind is in balance, then we say, I'm fine. Not, I'm thinking this is a divine state of things. Not knowing that this is mortal mind who is in balance and not unbalanced. That mortal mind, which is in order, feels healthy and fine. But it's still mortal mind. The normality of mortal mind is that we feel healthy. It is not proved with this that if we feel healthy, that this is a demonstration of divine mind. It can just as well be the demonstration of an old belief. There are old beliefs or hereditary beliefs. We say we come from a very healthy stock, and in our family we don't have any disease and any sicknesses. This is just natural. Without knowing the first thing about God and about the divine mind and about Christian Science, they can be quite healthy because there is a belief in that family or in that person that health is natural. So it's only the normality of mortal mind that may be pointed out in such fruits. Therefore, we always have to see from where, from which cause, do we draw the fruits? Reasoning Christian Science starts out from mind, which must be understood through the ideas of mind. Therefore, if we have seen this fundamental relationship of metaphysics to matter, we naturally then can also see what is the practice of ordinary metaphysics. I speak of ordinary metaphysics. Well, the practice of ordinary metaphysics is what she says, for instance, willing the sick to recover. It's willpower, it's gue. You know what I mean with gue? Huh? I will be healthier and healthier, and every day I'm better and better, and so on. It's the power of positive thinking. That's the practice. Or in the negative sense, naturally, we have the mesmerist, the malpractice, that practices negative thoughts, which then show themselves on the body. But therefore you see that ordinary metaphysics still admits two opposite realities, namely mind and body. Only showing that mind is superior to body, but it's still a dualistic worldview that exists in ordinary metaphysics, that matter exists also, but that the treatment is in mind. So it's a fight between mind, small m, and matter on the other side. Okay. That's, I think, clear too. Now from here, we can go on and see that that which is new in Christian Science especially in relationship to Quimby, that always an old question, what is the difference between Quimby and Christian Science, that Mrs. Eddy discovered, therefore, that metaphysics must be based on divine mind. She says, Christian Science is the unfolding of true metaphysics. It's the unfolding of true metaphysics. That is of mind, capital M, God, and his attributes. So we come to what she would call divine metaphysics. It's therefore a metaphysics that rests on the divine mind, on God. And so she defines metaphysics quite different than the dictionaries would define it. She says that the principle of divine metaphysics is God. Now, the principle of metaphysics is no more human thinking, willpower, positive thinking, thought transference, thought power, and these things, but now the principle of divine metaphysics is God. Therefore, divine metaphysics must always go out from God, divine principle. Never reason from matter. She says, God is the divine principle, God is the principle of divine metaphysics, and that the categories of metaphysics rest on one mind. I stress that over and over, just because this is a crucial point, I would say, in the whole development of Christian Science, especially in the latter years, to show really that we must not reason from the human, not reason from the material, but always reason from divine mind. If we reason rightly. Another point which is of greatest importance is the following, that Mrs. Eddy would bring out that great fact that ordinary metaphysics has no Christ. That actually ordinary metaphysics, though it can affect the body and change the body and change the symptoms, that ordinary metaphysics is not a savior. In spite of all these practices that seem to work and that seem to help people, but it is not really that help which brings mankind forward spiritually. That's the difference. That it only harmonizes the human mind and mortal mind to the point where the patient is happy with the situation. But it is not a question of bringing mankind further towards spiritualization. Therefore, she compares other works on metaphysics with her metaphysics and says, this important point, that works on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. Which is the grand point? They never crown the power of mind as a messiah. Can you see? She says, all the other metaphysical systems which do not rely on the divine mind, they leave the most important point out of consideration. They never see the divine mind as the Messiah. They never crown the divine mind as the Messiah, as the Christ, as that which really translates itself to the human level and gives to the human level that idea and that purpose which is in the divine mind and not in the human mind. So, she goes on in that sentence, nor do they carry the day against physical enemies, even to the extinction of all belief in matter, evil, disease, and death. See? Nor insist upon the fact that God is all. Therefore, that matter is nothing beyond an image in mortal mind. And you see that we said ordinary metaphysics is still dualistic. There's still two factors that it takes as real. The one is matter, and the other is mind, small n. Whereas divine metaphysics is no more dualistic. It only rests on the divine mind and sees that matter is not the reality, that matter is nothing beyond an image in mortal mind. So this is the great point, and you can see therefore quite clearly that the practice of Christian Science that goes out from the metaphysics of Christian Science will never really take into consideration the material situation, but only sees what mind knows. And mind knows no people, no body, no material universe. Mind only knows its own ideas, ideas of mind. And that really is that which lifts Christian Science above all the other metaphysical systems and practices. Therefore, she speaks of my system of metaphysics, which rests on God as one and all, and denies the actual existence of both matter and evil. So this is, I think, another clear statement, or where she said that matter examined in the light of divine metaphysics disappears. Can you see the difference between ordinary metaphysics, ordinary metaphysical practice, which is mostly the practice that we have in the Christian Science movement, is ordinary metaphysical practice, not divine practice. Mostly it is taking mind and try to overcome body and matter with mind. It's a constant struggle between mind and matter, mind and body. And it's constantly having an enemy there, which is called evil, or which is called matter, or which is called a person, or which is called a body, or anything like that. It's always dualistic right from the basis. It's not monistic in the basis. Can you see that? Can easily see that. Huh? The point is, can we stay with that consciousness? Huh? Yes. So, really, divine metaphysics, she says, explains away matter. See, it does not overcome matter. It's not mind over matter. Divine metaphysics is not mind over matter. It's mind that explains away matter, that does not know matter, that can see matter and evil as nothing. This is a very good one. She says in the textbook, actually, divine metaphysics as revealed to spiritual understanding shows clearly that all is mind, and that mind is God, omnipotent, omnipresence, and omniscience. Hence, all is in reality the manifestation of mind, capital M. Well, we know all these things. The side note here is divine completeness. We know all these things, but I guess we forget them only too quickly. And it's quite extraordinary how often we see that though we have studied the textbook and the system of it and the synonymous term, how still then in the practice, in the handling of everyday life, the student still looks at the problem and tries to see behind the problem. Well, If we try to see behind the problem, we take the problem as a starting point, as the cause, as something that exists, or as something that seems to exist, but is still going out from the problem. Whereas a divine scientist does not do that. He puts really the problem right behind himself. He doesn't talk with the problem. He doesn't look at the problem. He doesn't listen to the problem. He doesn't argue with the problem. He doesn't do all that. He put it right behind because divine metaphysics explains away matter, explains away the problem, and goes out from the divine mind and stays with the divine mind and never leaves the divine mind and never budges from it. Never budges from it. Yes. All right. Now, perhaps we come to a next point in this whole subject of metaphysics of Christian Science. For instance, we come to that rendering where Mrs. Eddy calls her metaphysics also scientific metaphysics. So she gives to her metaphysics the quality of being scientific. She's against semi-metaphysical systems. Says semi-metaphysical systems afford no substantial aid to scientific metaphysics. Well, semi-metaphysical system would be the old concept of metaphysics which accepts mind and matter as realities. That's half metaphysics, semi-metaphysics. And she says that's of no help. So it's of no help to go out from a problem and try to treat it by finding the idea behind the problem, by through reasoning from the problem to idea. It just doesn't work. That is, it works on a mental basis, just as any other mental metaphysics works and has its roots. But it is not Christian Science. And the difference between those two effects, those two fruits, we'll perhaps investigate a bit later on. So what then is scientific metaphysics? You know that one of the statements about scientific metaphysics is in the chapter Recapitulation at the beginning, before she starts out with the first question, where she says that absolute Christian Science pervades its statements, the statements of that chapter, to elucidate scientific metaphysics. So here in the chapter on Recapitulation, she has that rendering which says that absolute Christian Science pervades the whole chapter, therefore that she presents a metaphysics that is scientific, which is based on absolute Christian Science. Now, what is this scientific metaphysics? How could we perhaps elaborate on that term? How could we perhaps see what that term implies? Well, we had ordinary metaphysics, and we saw ordinary metaphysics rests on mind, small m. It rests therefore on what the human mind entertains as concepts, as the conceptions of the human mind, what the human mind thinks. Whereas scientific metaphysics would therefore go out and say, what does science know? What are the elements of science? What are the identities of being that science knows? Does science know thoughts? Does science know what mortals think? what are their conceptions. Now, science says, I only know myself. I only know the ideas of God. And therefore, scientific metaphysics is therefore that metaphysics that rests on scientific ideas. And that's the point where John Dawley would come in and would say, therefore, metaphysics must rest on ideas, must rest on the ideas of God, must not rest on what you think is right, must not rest on what the human mind desires, what the human mind has as its ideal. That's not scientific. Scientific is only that what the divine mind has in view, what the divine mind wants to achieve, what the divine mind wants to fulfill, what the divine mind knows, and that knows only ideas. And so, if we want really to be involved in scientific metaphysics, that means that we first have to know what are the ideas of God, or what are ideas of mind, of spirit, of soul, principle, life, truth, and love, so that in our metaphysical treatment or in our metaphysical practice, we can align really our thought to ideas, and don't align anymore our thoughts with what we consider to be right and ideal and good, so that we drop all that and say, only ideas of God are real, they are the only identities of being, and therefore we have to culture our consciousness to think in terms of ideas, and not to think in terms of just our thoughts. That's a great point. If it's ordinary metaphysics or ordinary life experience of the ordinary man, he has only his own conceptions, and he formulates his own conceptions. He calculates with his own conceptions. So he has a human calculus. He calculates always with his own values. And that is the very counterfeit of scientific metaphysics, which calculates only with ideas, which has a calculus of ideas. Okay, we make a break here.